Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God. Let us know our individual needs today. We pray that they may be met, not in the way that we look upon them, but in the manner in which thou art able to meet them, knowing what the real need is. We thank thee, Father, for answered prayer today, as we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, the paragraph which begins with verse 7, in which paragraph the message to the church at Philadelphia is recorded. We are studying the message to the church at Philadelphia, so we ask you to reread with us today the paragraph that contains the entire message. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the work of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, but I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Those of you who have been able to continue with us in these broadcasts will recognize that in the messages to the seven churches in Asia Minor, we are studying typically church history. The church at Philadelphia describes the Bible-believing, conservative, fundamental churches of the age in which we live. The name Philadelphia means love of the brethren, and this is the characteristic of this church, even though some do not act very loving. The Lord Jesus Christ mentions himself as being the one who is able to open doors and shut doors and provide opportunities of service, because this church has a little strength, little influence, little recognition, and could not do all of these things for herself. But this church is a working church, a church that has been true to the Word of God and has not denied the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This church is true to God, therefore God will see to it that though she is not acknowledged by the ecclesiastical authorities of the day, she will be acknowledged by the great head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not found a word of criticism in this message to the church at Philadelphia. Similar to the message to the church at Smyrna, it is without criticism, but a message of compliment and encouragement. We resume our study of the message with the 10th verse, where we read, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, because thou hast kept my exhortation to endurance," that's the real meaning of the phrase, "the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am going to take care of you." The church at Philadelphia will not always have an easy time, and so the Savior encourages them to endure. He encourages them to go on. And he said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my endurance, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation that is coming to try them that dwell upon the earth." The word temptation here could better be translated by the word trial. And this is a promise that is precious to every Bible-believing person. It is the promise that is precious to all who look for the coming of the Lord, because this verse of Scripture tells, first of all, that there is an hour of trial coming on the world. The hour of trial is not a 60-minute hour. The hour of trial, we learn from such passages of Scripture as the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, is a period of time that will last for 7 years. It is called the hour of trial because, as we read in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, it is a time of tribulation. It is a time of punishment. It is a time of suffering. It is a time of trouble such as this world has never seen. And it is coming on the earth to try those that live on the earth. But here is the reason that the promise in which this hour of trial is described is exceedingly precious to Bible believers. Notice, you and I will not be here to see that hour of trial. Here is a promise from the Word of God that He's going to keep us out of it. For that's the meaning of the word from. It is from the Greek preposition which means out of. He's going to keep us out of the hour of trial. And this reminds us, of course, that what is suggested to us in the 11th verse, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Individuals are often concerned about whether the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go through the hour of trial. And a great deal of discussion is entered into for proof as to whether or not the Church will go through the tribulation. To my mind, here is the simplest statement in all the Word of God which guarantees that the Church will not go through the hour of trial. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming to try the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to keep us out of the hour of trial. How and why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming quickly. He is coming quickly. This does not refer to the imminency of the coming of the Lord, the fact that there is yet nothing remaining to keep the Lord from coming. Behold, I will come quickly. And you will notice that the warning that is issued in this 11th verse, when he says, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." The word "take" in this verse of Scripture, everywhere else in the New Testament, is translated by the word "receive." The suggestion isn't that someone has grabbed the crown out of your hand, just as it has been presented to you, but it is to suggest that it is possible for you, after you have worked to attain a reward, that that reward will be given to someone else because of your lack of interest in the things of God. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, at which time we will receive our crowns, the word "crown" being symbolic of the reward that all of us are to receive if we are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the crown, this verse of Scripture reminds us that someone else may well receive the crown that God intended for us. So in these days of declension, we are told to hold fast what we have so that no one else will receive the reward that God intended for us. Behold, I come quickly. Again, we emphasize that this indicates the imminency of the coming of the Lord. No prophecy to be fulfilled before he comes. The hour of trial is something that Christians want to avoid. The promise is that God will save us out of that hour of trial. But oh, how conscientious and earnest we ought to be relative to faithful service, that no one will take the crown that God intended for us. Now, in the 12th verse, following the outline that we've been noticing, true of every one of these churches, there is a word to the overcomer, him that overcometh. For remember, no matter the condition of the corporate body, there is individual responsibility. If your church is not all that it ought to be, that's regrettable, and it ought to be a burden on your heart, but it will not be an excuse for your lax living. It will not be an excuse for your lack of spiritual power, because you as an individual have a responsibility before the Lord. And here he is saying, him that overcometh, you as an individual believer, because that's who an overcomer is, living a victorious life, can receive the promise of the Lord. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. This suggests to us that some of the believers in the church at Philadelphia did not have any certain dwelling place. This suggests to us that it was necessary for some of the members of the church of Philadelphia to go out. And you will find, if you have not already done so, that in some instances, if you stay true to the book and refuse to deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are willing to look only to the head of the church instead of ecclesiastical authority, that you may have to go out. Now, if you have not had to go out, the Lord bless you. But in most instances where individuals take a stand for God, they have to go out. But God guarantees that the individual will be recognized in due season, because he will be given the new name of the Savior when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and the New Jerusalem descends from above.